Well, it might not have been, but it sure sounded like it to me.
Oh, yeah. Hello, John and Dan Store.
Yes.
This is Norman Abner.
Abner, now help me figure out what I'm going to do about that brooch I give to Miss Moot. Let's get our heads together here. Two heads is always better than one.
Well,
huh?
I say two heads is always better than one. That's just an old Eddard saying of mine.
Two heads is better than one?
Yeah.
Well, it might be and it might not.
What do you mean, might not?
Well, it'd be a whole lot more expensive, I know that.
Expensive?
Why, sure. A fella'd have to buy two hats and two pairs of spectacles. Have two mouths to feed, that run into money long.
Stranger, I hadn't thought about that.
It'd be a lot of fun, though, too. Of course, a fella'd have to have two names. He'd have two heads so he'd know which head he was speaking to, so he'd know which head to talk back to him.
Talk back to?
Why, sure. So, I'd name one of them Finest. I love that name, Finest.
You'd name one of your heads Finest?
Yeah, one Abner, one Finest, so I know who was which head they was talking to, you know. Hello, Abner. Hi, Finest, old boy. How are you today? Oh, tolerably well. How are you? Well, I'm a little sleepy.
What are you doing? Do you mind telling me, explaining to me what you're doing?
I was just thinking if I had two heads, Lum, how'd talk to me.
Well, Admiral,
that'd be a lot of fun. Getting an argument, getting a fight in one another. Finest, I'll whop you right up on top of the head if you
say
that. Listen, Abner.
Will you and Finest be quiet a minute and help me figure this thing out?
Well, it was Finest that was talking, and he was the one that was talking.
Well,
be quiet,
tell Finest to stop.
Be quiet, Finest.
I've got to figure out something.
I don't have to be quiet.
Abner, will you be quiet?
It wasn't me. That was Finest that said that.
Well, tell Finest to stop talking for a minute.
I told you, old Lum, to get mad, Finest. Yeah, Finest.
I've got to figure out some way to get that brooch back from Ms. Moot before that fellow Mr. Thorndyke comes after his trunk full of sample jewelry.
Lum, I told you oughtn't to give that brooch to Ms. Moot in the first place. But no, you want to be a big show just because she invited you over to supper. That's the time, Abner.
That ain't helping me now. The brooch is already done giveaway. I know I oughtn't have done it. You don't have to remind me. My problem now is to get the thing back.
Well, have you asked her for it?
Oh, I called her once and kind of beat around the brush a little bit, but she's all fired tickled over the thing. I just can't bring myself to ask her for it. I dead blame near went to looking for some earrings to match the thing for her.
Well, the only thing I know is just explain the whole thing to Mr. Thorndyke when he gets here along. Maybe it's just a cheap old brooch and he won't even care.
No, the more I think about it, the more I think that jewelry is worth more than I think it is.
Huh?
In that telegram Mr. Thorndyke sent, it said he was going to give me $500 to get the trunk and the jewelry back.
Well, the whole thing ain't worth more than $500, ain't it?
Well, of course it's worth more than $500. A reward for finding something ain't never as big as what the stuff's worth in the first place. Not anywhere near as much.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it ain't.
Of course it is, Lum. The reward's generally worth a whole lot more. For instance, No-Nose Grogan.
No-Nose Grogan?
That big bank robber in St. Louis. You know how much of a reward they offered for him? $10,000.
Oh, well, I know, but
$10,000 reward they offered for old No-Nose, and I bound you he weren't worth a nickel. Fact is, when they caught him, you never had a dime on him.
Yeah, but that's a different thing, though.
No, it ain't. You stood right there and said the reward ain't never as big as what the thing is worth itself. Now, I just suppose No-Nose had a dime when they caught him. He never had that much, but just suppose he had it.
Well, so what?
All righty. $10,000 reward is just about a million times more than 10 cents. Now, figure it out.
I ain't got time. You figure it out.
Sure. Time's up.
Now, I don't mean that kind of a reward anyway. Suppose you found a wallet belongs to Ezra Seastrom.
Did he lose his wallet?
I don't know. This is just supposing. Now, supposing you found Ezra's wallet and there was $100 in it.
$100? Doggy, he must have sold that Rome team of his. I knowed he had it up for sale, but I never knowed he'd ever get $100 for it.
For
that old Ezra, he's a sharp one.
What I'm trying to say.
I don't believe the team with the harness sewed in the boot was worth over 50. I know that one horse, Otis, is over 22 years old.
And what I'm trying to explain to you...
Who bought it, Lum?
If you've lost $100... Now, hold on.
Huh?
I know you ain't lost no $100, but if you ever do and somebody finds and gives it back to you, how much would you give the feller for finding it?
Oh, I already gave him $10 anyway.
Now, there you are. The money you lost horse worth 10 times the $10 you'd give for a reward. So 10 times 500, $5,000. That's more than likely what that trunk of jewelry is actually worth.
Oh,
it might even be worth a whole lot more than that. I don't know. But it's got to be at least worth $5,000.
Well, you better get that brooch back then, Lum. It might be worth $500 by itself.
I'm glad you're final catching on. Now, how am I going to get it back?
Well, why don't you just explain the whole thing to Mrs. Mooch's man, Mose? Don't tell him how much it's worth, though, or you'd never get it back. Just tell him, well, tell him you want to borrow it for a spell to get another made just like it or something.
I was already down to Mose's barbershop this morning, but I never said nothing about it.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't know how to bring the subject up.
Well, I knowed you down there an awful long time. Seems like you could have got around to saying something in all that time you was there.
Well, I started to a few times there, but that blamed Frank Foster was in there getting off some of his jokes.
Oh, he's a good one.
Every time I try to get Mose off to one side to say something, old Frank would butt in.
Yeah.
Thought I was trying to tell Mose a joke and wanted to hear it, too, I reckon.
Oh, I know how that Frank is.
Then Frank would get off a couple of more of his jokes.
Leg slapper, huh?
Oh, he had a whole bunch of new ones. Some drummer was in his service station and left his car there to get an oil and grease job and went over to Sister Simpson's to eat his dinner.
What drummer was it? The one from the hotel house?
I don't know. Frank never said who it was.
Well, Lum, I think you better get that brooch back just as fast as you can. Just go back down there to Moses' barbershop and tell him you've got to have it. That Mr. Thorndyke lob will come along any minute.
Yeah, well, I just can't bring myself to say anything to Mose. Every time I get up enough nerve, I lose it. I get a shave instead.
Well, I thought you looked awful slick and shiny.
You dead blame it. I got 2 shaves, a haircut, and one of them massages, and shampoo, and a bunch of that violet-colored hair tonic put on my hair.
Look.
It cost me $2.40 for the holy words. 25 cents for that hair tonic alone.
Oh,
just trying to get up enough nerve to ask for that brooch.
Yeah, well, that tonic smells pretty, but it is expensive.
There must be an awful good profit in that junk,
oh,
you know. I'd just like to find out what's in that stuff. I like it better than vanilla extract, to tell you the truth.
Well, I do on men. I don't particularly on women folk. Elizabeth tried it, but I prefer vanilla.
Oh, it smells.
She takes hungry when she puts that vanilla flavoring on.
Yeah, we could start a hair tonic factory and get rich.
Oh, no.
Manufactured right here in the store.
Well, you better start manufacturing some way to get that brooch back before Mr. Thorndyke gets here. What do you do if he shows up today?
Granny, I wouldn't want to tell him I'd give that brooch away.
Hey, wait a minute, Lum. If you went and bought that chunk at the auction, well, it's yours now, ain't it? You got a right to do anything you want to with it.
No, I ain't neither. If he can prove it was the bus company's fault for losing that trunk, he can sue them and me, too, and collect a lot of damages. Oh, he could sue us for $1,000,000 on account of shock and having his livelihoods took away from him, loss of time, worry, and all that stuff. You can read that kind of stuff in the papers every day. Nobody ever sues for less than $1,000,000.
Yeah, I know that.
If he shows up today, I'm going to hide, and you can stall him off till I can figure out some way to get that brooch back.
Lum, I ain't going to do no more stalling. Every time you get some kind of a jam, you hide, and I got to do a lot of lying for you. I ain't going to do it no more. Not one more time am I... Oh, howdy, Cedric. Come in.
Yeah, howdy, Cedric.
Oh, howdy. How are you fellas today?
Oh, pretty well. What are you laughing at, Cedric?
Oh, I heard a funny joke down at Frank Foster service station. There was a traveling salesman.
We ain't got time, Cedric.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to no new jokes now, Cedric. I'm busy.
Yeah, just sit down, Cedric. We're awful busy trying to figure something out right now.
Well, this traveling salesman...
Cedric, no joke.
Well, I just want to tell you about this traveling salesman.
No.
Cedric, I ain't got time to listen to no jokes. Special about a traveling salesman.
Oh, this ain't no joke, Mr. Long. See, this traveling salesman was down to Frank Foster's getting an oil change, and he wanted to know where he could find you. Said his name is Thorndyke or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, for the land. Take
why in the world didn't you say so? Let me out.
Oh, you're too late, Lummy's coming up the steps out there now.
Oh, me.